We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrand. Joining me, as always, over there for this week one extravaganza, the one, the only, the incomparable, Mr. Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
Ty, I am so, so, so great and excited for this show. In my mind, I'm seeing like that green light flashing. I'm seeing those flags go up. I mean, you and I, we're churning here, Ty. We're churning. Yeah. We're burning. And I think we're yearning, right? Are we yearning for the cup? The podcast championship cup? Are we deftly maneuvering?
We're ready to eat that week one cake, Dan Rubenstein.
Oh, hell yeah, Ty. Good pull.
Welcome back, one and all. I am Ty. He is Dan. This is the Solid Verbal.
Ty's going the distance. He's going for speed.
This is our week one picks show, preview show. We're going to get all into it here momentarily. But before we do, don't forget to go on out to solidverbal.com to check out our website, to subscribe, to follow this show everywhere you get fine podcasts. You can also read some of the articles once you're out there, which we publish 3 days per week. You can also go on out to verballers.com where Daniel the breaking news of the week is that we announced the Run the Board Challenge, the game that we are allowing all of our Patreon subscribers to participate in. To be honest with you, maybe it's a bridge too far for us.
What?
It's a pick'em game where we're going to elect a board of trustees to which you and I will be accountable.
Correct. Good grammar, by the way. Board of trustees, if you are not a current Patreon subscriber, playruntheboard.com to get in on the action and challenge the entire, the entire verballerhood that is a certified or premium verballer all season long in a pick'em game. I cannot wait to do this. You're challenging us. You're challenging everybody else involved in the game. And the prizes are ridiculous. The honor at the end is unprecedented.
Unprecedented. The top five finishers get a spot on our newly created board of trustees. You'll get some voting privileges, votes of confidence, votes of no confidence. We're going to give you a special trophy to commemorate your membership in the board. You'll be invited to annual meetings to talk all things Solid Verbal. This is like the, this is as official as we can make it. Let's leave it at that.
Yeah, that's true. Somebody joked in the Discord, like, well, does it, is there any no bid shady contract involved with, I'm like, maybe.
Absolutely. Can't take it off the table. So
that's true.
The other bit of strategy is that you can actually anonymously view the picks of others.
Oh.
A little bit of a wrinkle there. little bit of strategery being introduced into our Run the Board game. So check it out. PlayRunTheBoard.com is how you can get all the fine details. Of course, this is only offered to our Patreon subscribers. You have to get in before week one. You have to sign up before kickoff on September the 4th. Otherwise, it's no bueno. Otherwise, we just assume that you don't want to be part of the board. Maybe you don't want to be. That's fine. Nothing wrong
with
that.
Be more specific, Ty. Be more specific because we have a lot of games to talk about, but that's 11:59 a.m. Eastern. So that's 10:59 a.m. Central Time, 9:59 a.m. Mountain Time,
right,
and 8:59 a.m. Pacific Time. And if my math serves, 5:59 a.m. Hawaiian Time?
Hawaii Time. Yeah, correct.
Okay, just making sure. I can't wait. It's going to be a blast. So yeah, playruntheboard.com. Get in on it because, man, I love a good challenge all year long with this pick 'em. Yeah.
We, of course, are here today because...
I'm back, baby!
College football's back! It's back, Dan. Can you believe it?
Yeah, I can. What I can't believe, because, you know, we just keep rotating around the sun every year at the same pace, what I can't believe is that this is the first season in 13 years? That you are going to be unencumbered by responsibilities attached to the mysterious day job. So I anticipate you either being way worse at picking games, way better at picking games, but I expect you to perform with an energy that, like, what are you obsessed with? Dark matter? Like, we haven't fully tapped into the potential of the dark matter involved with a fully unchained Ty Hildenbrand.
I am here. I am excited. I am loving every minute of it. And this, of course, is the week one show. We did have a couple new quarterbacks who were announced. Zeb Nolan, welcome back, baby. Zeb Nolan, just a graduate assistant a couple weeks ago for South Carolina. But Luke Doty went down with the foot injury, meaning that they were kind of scrambling. Shane Beamer was looking for a new guy. Zeb Nolan, formerly of Iowa State, he is your quarterback.
Ames via Fargo, North Dakota as well. He was Trey Lance's backup last year and presumably a GA in Columbia, now starting, at least. We'll see how long. I don't know.
We have Tanner Mordecai. We have Hudson Card, who I think we talked about. We have Joe Milton at Tennessee. Jack Plummer recently announced at Purdue. Some of these names starting to trickle in.
I saw Sam Neuer, by the way, at Oregon State. So that's the quarterback taking on Jack Plummer at Purdue this week. I don't know the last time, and maybe you can correct me, maybe a Verballer can weigh in here. When was the last time a quarterback started for two conference teams in consecutive years? Colorado last year, Oregon State this year. I mean, he's well-liked, obviously has talent, but that seems unusual.
Shall we get into it?
Let's.
Dan, time, help, I need picks of the week.
I've got my arms in the air because I just don't care, Dan.
I'm sipping from my solid verbal mug. It's gigantic and luxurious.
Week one, welcome back, college football. We've got a loaded slate of games that we are going to go through today, but we're going to start Saturday at high noon on Fox, Dan. My beloved Penn State Nittany Lions on the road, a 5.5-point underdog against the Wisconsin Badgers, Dan.
So you're going just chronological here. This is not the biggest game of the weekend, but yes, you're right.
Not the biggest game of the weekend, which we will discuss
good game.
Here. Very good game. Interestingly enough, our friend Phil Steele, been on the show. We talked about his preview mag a bunch of times here in the run-up to the 2021 season. He says that home field advantage at Camp Randall Stadium is worth precisely 5.25 points.
Okay.
So if you believe it, that pretty much negates the point spread here. Pretty much negates it. It would be about an even contest. Do I feel like this is an even matchup? I think so. How do you feel?
Yeah, I think it's relatively even. I'm more confident in these defenses than I am these offenses, not because I don't like the coordinators or the quarterbacks, though there is some element of these quarterbacks that I'm not crazy about. But there's it's guys who missed a bunch of time at receiver last year for Wisconsin, a new starting running back in Chez. I don't think he even needs a last name.
Just hold on, wait.
Chez.
Now,
Clemson transfer Chez, I think Malusi.
How do we want to handle this? Because we did the Charlie to Chez conversion 2 years ago. And I think we're sticking with that, but Chez feels like a variant of Chaz.
It is a variant, which is a loaded word right now.
True.
But the name Chez is too excellent and too important for us to just immediately decide on a nickname or a name for him in general. We just have to go with Chez, sort of like Cher, which I think it shares three of the four letters anyway. So it's just Chez. If something occurs to us in terms of a nickname with Chez, we will go there. But bigger picture wise, I think I trust these defenses more than the offenses. And with the spread being what it is, and there are, I think I like the surrounding talent around Sean Clifford at Penn State more in terms of offensive skill. Like,
yeah,
they seem to be secretly kind of deep at running back, right? With Kevon Lee and Noah Kane and John Lovett, the Baylor transfer, and then Jahan Dotson, who, I mean, is he one of the best five receivers in the country?
Probably.
There's an easy case for it. And then the emergence of Parker Washington, can't lose last year. I'm pretty big on what Penn State could do offensively if Sean Clifford looks like a more comfortable, confident version of himself.
Right.
So I'm going to go with Penn State and the points here. I just, you know, taking points gives you two out of the three outcomes. And with the Wisconsin defense as good as it is, with the Penn State defense as promising it is as it is, I'm going for something close and relatively low scoring. So I'm going to take those points.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, Dan. I think I like Penn State's offense a little bit better. I think I like Wisconsin's defense a little bit better. All in all, feels about a coin flip. My hesitation with Penn State is that I really like their offensive skill talent, which you just listed.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if they're going to be organized enough in week one. Big road spot.
Huge.
Installing a new system under Mike Yurcich. I'm also not sure about their defensive front. Remember, that was one of the questions we had.
Lost some big pieces.
Yeah, going into the season against a team in Wisconsin that presumably is going to want to use that Chez however they can.
Yeah, a sort of new look, reshuffled offensive line for Wisconsin on their part. So there is some question marks on both sides when Wisconsin has the ball up front.
If they can run, I would assume that would be a bit of a matchup advantage for them. But again, that's kind of an unknown.
Sure.
I'm thinking this comes down to like a rock fight. It's 28-24. Somebody wins. I'll take the points happily, 5.5. It was lower before, but it's gone up now since some of the money has come in on Wisconsin. I like Wisconsin outright 28-24, but definitely Penn State with the points.
That's higher scoring than I see. I have it as like 21-20, 23-19, somewhere in there. Yeah.
But we do agree. Moving on.
And to be clear, we're not skipping Thursday and Friday. We're, to be clear, we're getting there.
Saturday, 3:30 on ABC. We've got Alabama -18.5. Ooh. Neutral cider.
Mm-hmm.
Against the Miami Hurricanes. They play this one in Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. This is, of course, as we all remember, the first time these teams have met since 1993. That's when Alabama upset Miami and stole the national championship, Dan.
Yep. I'm saying that, yeah, 19 points right now. Woof. Up to 19.5 at some of the books. So many points.
Bama has won its last 10 neutral site openers by an average of 25 points per game. And I feel like we fall into this trap every year where look at the point spread and it's like, that's a little too rich for my blood, a little too much. And then they go out and they beat USC 52-6 or something like that.
And specifically with the ACC, which is not fair to compare Miami against everybody, but like Duke and Florida State, when Florida State lost DeAndre Francois early on, like they've matched up pretty well with some teams in this game, those neutral site openers, but usually it's comfortable double digit W's.
I do wonder if this year is going to be a little bit different for Alabama. As you know, Travis May, who writes for our site, writes the Sneaky Stats column every Monday, says the number is 73. The number of touchdowns that were scored last season by Alabama offensive players who are now in the NFL. It's a lot to lose.
Yeah.
73. On paper, you could use that. You could make a compelling case for Miami. So I'm going to do it. What the hell? Why not? Let's get nuts. I'm going to take the points. I'm going to white knuckle this thing the whole way through, right up until we get that backdoor cover with Manny Diaz kicking a late field goal for no good reason. I am a hopeless romantic, Dan. I believe in the magic of De'Eriq King. in his 15th year as a college quarterback.
Yeah, coming off a bad injury.
So much is back for this Canes squad. Manny Diaz now calling plays for the defense. They are not going to win this game, to be clear. They are not going to win this game. But can they lose this game 38-24? Could it be one of those games where they're down 28-7 at half, but could they come back in the second? Yes. The answer is yes. I will take Miami plus the 18.5. And like I said, I'm just going to hold on for dear life and hope that it doesn't come back to bite me.
Yeah, I'm not taking it. I actually like the under more than either of these teams against the spread, which is about 61. I see it as sort of a 38-17 type game, which I know covers as well. But I'm not wild about a recovering De'Aaron King. And this is a Miami offense that struggled at times to keep the chains moving, gave up way too many points to the bigger and better teams that they played last year. There's talent on this defense, but they didn't always connect that talent to stops on the field. And you look at giving up 40 plus to NC State and 42 to Clemson and what they gave up to North Carolina late in the season. Even with the changes at Alabama, it's just not a spot, right? It's just, who are you going to trust with this much preparation? And I know there's, you know, Bill O'Brien steps in as offensive coordinator and Bryce Young at quarterback, and it's a new group of receivers outside of John Metchie. But in terms of the superstar potential, there's just a lot of unknown there. So it's very easy to say the train keeps on chugging for this Alabama offense with a new coordinator and all sorts of new pieces and still a really good offensive line. But I'm still going to say the talent level of Miami keeps this relatively interesting, even if this was not an especially consistent Miami team last year. I think it's going to be an improved Miami team with the experience that they bring back. So my play is the under. If you're going to force me to pick a team against the spread, it's going to be Alabama by 3 touchdowns. Eventually, there's just that inevitability to Alabama football that I just trust more when we have no data on this year's squads.
So you're saying a cover in spirit only for the Miami Hurricanes?
Yeah, I think Miami can cover this to the under point. I think they can hold Alabama under 40 points. But I don't see where the pop is coming from specifically against this Alabama defense. I see where it's going to come against ACC defenses, but I think it's going to be too much, that there's too much intriguing experience and talent up front for Alabama. And this was a Miami team that really couldn't run the ball consistently last year. They popped some big plays, but the sort of generating medium plays when it counts to drive down the field, I'm not there with Miami against Alabama.
Well, you're not alone. 77% of the money, at least as of yesterday, is also on the Crimson Tide.
Yeah.
We'll move on. Let's go to the Duke's Mayo Classic, Dan. Saturday night, 7:30, ABC. This is the big one. This is the big one. Georgia Bulldogs, 3.5-point dog against the Clemson Tigers. This is the biggest game on each of their schedules. They're playing it at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte. One of the things that I just got to get off my chest here. All too often, Dan, I'll make a comment on an episode and I'll just discard it. And that's mostly because I have the memory of a goldfish, to use a Ted Lasso reference of my own.
Obviously.
But it's just hard to put your neck out there sometimes because it takes gumption. It takes cojones.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm on the record with Georgia. I'm very bullish on Georgia this year. I've got them winning the SEC. I've got them going to the playoffs. So when we come to a point in time like this, I could either hedge and say, they could lose. They could still get all that stuff. This game, it's important to just not get blown out. Or I could finally put on the big boy pants, Dan, and I could lock it up.
Lock of the week.
Wow.
Let's go. I like the dogs here. I like them outright. I have had my Georgia outright bet logged into the actual real betting system for about a month now. I believe in JT Daniels at quarterback. I think he's the better quarterback in this game. I think Georgia's better on offense at every position, maybe outside a wide receiver. I love their front seven. If Clemson's got the best defensive line in the country, Georgia's two. So I love this team. I love this defense. The main question is whether Georgia can stop the pass, which I'm sure you're going to get into. But I am all in on Georgia, not just in this game, but really all season long. So give me the dogs outright. Let's lock it up.
I've been leaning Georgia for quite some time, and now I like Clemson.
Because of me?
No, not because of you. Because I sat and I meditated on these games yesterday and just tried to visualize what is the most realistic thing that can happen in my brain and what I value going into a year in which, again, we do not have data points. It's week one. So it's a matter of sort of, at this point, blind trust that teams are going to grow on a realistic level, or that quarterbacks, what we've seen from quarterbacks is what we're going to get from quarterbacks in week one, which is almost never the case. You know, guys, especially when you're playing an opponent of, you know, these teams' calibers. Is that a word? Calibers? Of these teams' caliber. That it's going to be an exercise on preparation, not shooting yourself in the foot, you know, continuing, keeping drives, smart play calling. Like, it's just, it's, you're reaching into thin air in a little bit. You're reaching into the ether when you have two teams as closely matched as these two. What I trust here is Clemson and the Clemson staff, which has had tremendous continuity, Dabo Swinney, obviously. There's a track record in these games. There's a track record of preparation and finding a way to pull out these games or to even win these games comfortably. Kirby Smart's best wins right now are what? Those Notre Dame games, one of those Florida wins maybe, and the double overtime win against Oklahoma, right?
Okay.
They're just in terms of getting everybody on the same page, JT Daniels' best win either as a college quarterback or as a Georgia quarterback is Cincinnati in the bowl game. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead. Continue.
No, I'm just I'm asking. I don't know if I'm wrong. I don't know if you consider the Mississippi State game or the Mizzou, whatever it is. JT Daniels is very, very good. I just think organizationally right now, in terms of preparing for a game with very little to go on and with Georgia's specific injuries, you know, George Pickens and, you know, they're short at tight end. Like, they're just issues. I think I trust this Clemson staff getting DJU ready to win this game on a neutral field because of this track record. I know pass catching is also sort of up in the air. Justin Ross coming back from injury. But who are the other guys that right. step up as well? No right. Travis Etienne home runs to lean on and gravity to take advantage of. I get all of that. But in a toss-up situation, a three-point game on a neutral field, my tie is going to the guy and the staff that has proven that they can pull out a game like this. So I'm going Clemson to win by a touchdown.
I'm a little disappointed with all this staff talk that you didn't pluralize it and go Stavs.
Stavs. Everybody knows the plural of staff is Stavs. S-T-A-L-V-E-S. Don't look it up.
I think everything that you said is accurate. And I have the same questions about Georgia.
I mean, that's what we have to go on in week one, track record, right?
They're so freaking loaded. They're so freaking loaded.
Totally.
Last year, one of the things that they were very good at was getting pressure without blitzing. And I think that could really be a useful tool in this game against DJU, because one of the things Clemson wants to improve upon is taking some of those deep shots. They didn't take enough last year. Even with the best quarterback perhaps in program history, they didn't have that guy who could just go up and get it, win the jump balls. I think they're trying to develop that guy this year, whether it's Justin Ross or Joseph Nagata. Like, they want to do more of that.
Yeah.
And given the fact that the real question mark, if there is one, on the Georgia defense is that secondary, I would expect that we're going to see it. But if Georgia can generate that pressure while playing coverage, especially against a not a new quarterback in DJU, but you could argue this is the biggest game he's ever played in.
Oh, of course.
It's a big spot for him. I think that could definitely work to Georgia's advantage. And that's why I like them outright. For what it's worth, by the way, a little bit more money coming in on Clemson than the Georgia Bulldogs, at least at time of recording. Obviously, that could change, but it feels like everybody is looking at this one as if it's a bit of a coin flip. It's going to be a good game. There's a reason it's the best game of the weekend.
Can I give you another slight margin that it appeals to me emotionally with this matchup? And it's because I've been hurt before, Ty. I have been hurt before, like we all have been. The two biggest Oregon games of the past decade involve the Ducks losing to giant mobile quarterbacks who, when you think they are tied up, when you think you have them, when you think they're sacked on third and three, they manage to spin out of something and lunge forward and secure a first down. Which one of these quarterbacks is more capable in this tight-knit game of doing that? It's DJU. So that is why when I see this as sort of a tie, I think to myself, man, Georgia has Clemson's receivers locked up on third and five. DJU is suddenly rolling out and has the angle. though, to me, that's kind of a difference maker. And that was a difference maker with Deshaun Watson, a difference maker with Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
And that just appeals to me emotionally because of the pain I've suffered. Cardale Jones and Cam Newton, rough.
Yeah, I mean, DJU's not as mobile as those guys, but your point stands.
He's more mobile than JT Daniels.
He's
more likely to turn third and fives to an angle to get that first down at the 47.
Fair enough. So we disagree, Dan. We disagree. Let's move on to another headliner. This one's Saturday, 8:30 on Fox. This game, Dan, gave me fits. Talk about meditating over a game result. LSU, a 3.5-point favorite on the road at UCLA. This is, if I've ever seen one of those Vegas knows something games. You know what I mean? Where you look at the point spread and you wonder, is this a misprint? Is it really this low? The sharps have been on UCLA for a while now, but it's now kind of like a double road spot to layer on some additional complexity for LSU. They had to flee Hurricane Ida, I think, on Sunday or at some point.
It's now, by the way, thankfully, just a tropical storm. I saw the downgrade. So hopefully that is a bit of a respite for our pals down there.
Yeah, I mean, a terrible situation. Having to leave home, whether you're a football player or not, like just really scary stuff. A major hurricane coming right at you. We hope everyone's okay. LSU left. The football team left. They went over to Houston to do some of their practicing. And now they're going to head on over to the West Coast. I'm very hesitant here. I had the dog pick this game because I didn't know which way to go.
Yeah.
I posted that video. I'll post it publicly, but I posted it a few hours ago to our super secret Verballer Discord, which you can get if you're a Patreon subscriber. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I think LSU is going to be a lot better than last season. I think they have to be. And we're both fans of Max Johnson. We both think he's got some juice. I'm into Max
Johnson.
I
always root for lefties. I'm not lefty, but I always appreciate the difference in aesthetics of a good lefty quarterback. Yeah.
And in general, I think if you're putting a better SEC team up against pretty much anybody in the Pac-12, no disrespect to Oregon or USC, more often than not, I'm going the SEC team. I'm just going to do it.
Okay.
My issue here and why I really struggle with this one is because UCLA is going to have a dynamic rushing attack with Dorian Thompson-Robinson and Zach Charbonnet and Britton Brown. And last season, LSU was really bad against the run.
Yeah.
Really bad against the run. I'd be willing to take LSU if not for that simple fact. And then because it seems like the pro bettors are on UCLA, it seems like most of the public money is on UCLA, I'm looking at this line and I'm just thinking, what am I missing here? You have been on UCLA for a while in this game. And so I'm anticipating you're going to go Bruins plus the points at home as maybe your home dog of the week. I don't know. But talk me through this one and tell me where you're at here.
So I don't think you can look specifically at LSU's results last year just because the coordinator hire just dramatically didn't work out. Emphatically, Bo Pelini was not the answer running the defense for LSU. Obviously, they had guys miss time like everybody had guys that missed time. I expect a pretty big jump. The difference to me, though, is LSU has two new coordinators, three if you include passing game coordinator as well, on offense, a new full-time starting quarterback. They're deep on both lines. Everything is set up for LSU to have a really impressive bounce back year. Now, situationally, UCLA has played a week, but also that means we've now seen DTR, who missed a bunch of camp time. It's like 8 or 10 days or something like that. And I still don't know the reason. I think it was pointed out that it wasn't COVID, but it's all sort of shrouded in, like, he was still on Zoom calls. He looked off against Hawaii. His ability to throw with touch against Hawaii, a pretty good defense, is now going to be tested by he needs to fit balls into very tight spaces against Derek Stingley and Eli Ricks, right? Like, we're talking about top of the top of the top corner duo. And they're still pretty deep at safety as well. So I understand LSU is on the road to a bounce back year and that it's week one and we don't need to necessarily expect them to be a finished product right now. I like UCLA here. And maybe it's going to be the combination of a very odd week for LSU traveling twice. And I feel disgusting using that as a reason in picking just something as silly as a game when they're going through something as serious. But if you're forcing me to, I can see how that interrupts where LSU wants to be. So I'm going to go with UCLA here with a smart coaching staff, with a very smart head coach who has a track record when he has his squad where he wants them of putting them in the best possible position to win. I really liked what I saw out of these running backs. I think linebacker is still a pretty big question in terms of what the ceiling is for LSU. So I'm going to go with UCLA here as my road dog of the week. I don't feel as good about it after watching them, weirdly enough, blow out Hawaii, just because I would have liked to see more from DTR in terms of he's been there forever and should be in a rhythm with this offense by now. And I understand he was out and, you know, maybe there's a nice bounce back quality to him as well. LSU should physically overwhelm UCLA, but there is something about that playing week one, the intelligence of Chip Kelly, that I'm going to go with UCLA here to close out LSU. And it's also, it's got to be very strange for LSU to go into the Rose Bowl. That's going to be a quarter filled.
Yeah,
so it's not like you're fully be able to concentrate in an empty stadium, or it's not like what you're used to in like a crazy SEC stadium. So it's sort of like an Ephus pitch of an environment where UCLA is just who's the, like, there's like a 45-year-old pitcher right now who just throws curveballs. Is it Rich Hill? Like, I think that's what the UCLA crowd is going to be. Like, it's just kind of a murmur. So I'm going to go with UCLA to win this game by 5 in a relatively high scoring affair, something like 38-33. I don't know, something like that. So they're my Oinkster. That's the name of a place that serves hot dogs in the Pasadena area. My Oinkster home dog of the week.
The Yakko's home dog of the week.
Or my Tommy's. Tommy's is probably the better analog. They serve just incredible chili dogs and chili burgers in the greater LA area.
I am going to go. I honestly feel like LSU should win this game. Like, LSU's the better team. LSU's going to win this game. I am terrified every time I look at one of these point spreads and I just don't get it. So I'm going to go with
sure.
you. The dog also picked UCLA, which again, I'll post that video somewhere.
Good girl. Who's a good girl?
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used, because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Let's move to Sunday, Dan. Got games all weekend. It's Labor Day, man.
That's true.
Sunday, 7:30, ABC. It's Notre Dame, favored by 7.5 on the road at Florida State. Talk about my home dog right here.
The Yakko's home dog of the
What is with you? You, I love the random crushes you feel. Right now it's the state of Florida with Florida State and Miami, Florida State presumably.
I am a Florida man. You know this.
Texas. Yeah, typical Florida man, Ty Hildebrandt. Yeah.
I've been on Florida State since this line was Florida State plus 9.5. We talked about it months ago. I'm still on Florida State here, even now that the lines come down a little bit. And this isn't me doing the reverse jinx thing, because now that I am beholden to those Patreon dollars, the least I can do is be straight with you and be authentic.
Of course.
That's what I'm trying
to. And we're on the road to a board of trustees. Run the playruntheboard.com. Yeah.
I got to be level with people here. I have to be my authentic self. This is how I realistically feel about this game. I think Notre Dame's going to win by 3 or 4 points. And I say that for a couple reasons. The first, Mackenzie Milton scares the absolute hell out of me. And Notre Dame's secondary should be pretty good, but it's like not a situation where they're going to turn Mackenzie Milton into, I don't know, Max Bortenschlager. Like, that's just not a thing that's going to happen.
You just wanted to say Bortenschlager.
I kind of did.
Yeah.
I'm also going to add here, we didn't talk a lot about it, but it is a slightly different scheme. Notre Dame changed out its defensive coordinator because Clark Lee went to Vanderbilt. They brought over Marcus Freeman from Cincinnati. I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be great.
Make up your mind. Is he going to be fine or is he going to be great?
He'll be both. He might be to start and great in time. I don't know.
Okay.
It's not all that different a scheme, but it's a newish system. There are some new faces. They're on the road. If it were any other team, Dan, I would not like that situation. So why should I be any different for my own team? That's the first reason.
Okay.
The second reason, I'm not a big Conehead, man. I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not. If they're going to build the whole plane out of Kyren Williams and Chris Tyree running the football, Jack Cohn makes sense in that kind of offense. He did that at Wisconsin.
Okay.
But if by some offseason miracle, Florida State has figured out how to stop the run or at least slow the run, if they stack the box, I don't know. Do we really trust Jack Cohn, Dan? Do we trust Jack Cohn in that situation? I'll tell you this. When I learned to drive, they told me to be mindful of road cones.
God.
It's a device to signal caution.
Oh, no.
Slow down. You pump the brakes. Beware the road cone, Dan.
Was Jack Cohn actually disappointing on the road in 2019?
I don't know.
I'm looking right now. I'm looking right now for you. Jack Cohn was worse than he was at home in 2019 when he led Wisconsin to, by the way, also two quarterbacks who, coming back from bad leg injuries, obviously Mackenzie Milton worse. He was fine on the road. 8 touchdowns to 2 picks, rating of 141, 7.7 yards per attempt, completed 65% of his passes. And
that's good. That's pretty good.
As we've mentioned, Notre Dame is low key Wisconsin. So, I understand your trepidation. I do.
I think the ground game is ultimately too much for Florida State because even if they're better, they're still going to be somewhat bad at stopping that.
They were truly awful last year, State, against the run. Yeah.
They're terrible. I think Florida State's going to be much better this year. I think they'll hang in this game. I hate the point spread from the Notre Dame standpoint. So I'm going FSU plus the points. I think it's actually a pretty good game. 28-24 Notre Dame wins on the road.
The current, it's 7.5, right?
7.5.
I'm seeing 8.5 some places, but yeah, right around that area. I'm sorry. I just don't like Florida State all that much. I like them in the medium and long term, but against a playoff team from last year, which is still what we're talking about with Notre Dame. Notre Dame ran through the ACC undefeated until that Clemson game. I talked about being disappointed with elements of Notre Dame's offense, but that was against Clemson.
Yeah,
that was against Alabama that I didn't think they have the firepower and the creativity to hang against Florida State. Ty, I think you are just, you might be self-hating Irish a little bit too strongly here.
Okay.
Mackenzie Milton had his whole leg rebuilt.
True.
I don't see a way in which Florida State against a playoff team, again, what did they do last year against Notre Dame? Florida State lost by 18 points. Is that what I'm seeing?
Yeah.
So they lost by 18 points. They did not play Clemson. They gave up 52 to Miami. Now, granted, that's on the road. They gave up 48 to Louisville. And they gave up 35 to Duke in a win, but they gave up 35 to Duke, 38 to NC State. I don't know. I see Notre Dame. Maybe this game is something for a quarter because the crowd's super into it, but Florida State's farther away. They're going to get there. Maybe October, November, next year, whatever. I have Notre Dame winning this game like 34 to 17. Like I think Notre Dame comfortably wins this game by double digits. I think you're overthinking it here.
Okay. Well, we can disagree again.
We disagree.
But I'm just, Notre Dame was a playoff team a year ago, but they lost their winningest quarterback in program history, who was a team leader. Love him or hate him as a quarterback.
Who's he starting for in the NFL this year? Yeah.
Fair enough.
Moving on, let's go to Monday. Nice little number here. 8 p.m. ESPN. Louisville on the road, a 9.5-point dog against Ole Miss. I say on the road, but it's a neutral sider in Atlanta, part of the Chick-fil-A opening weekend. 91% of the money is currently on Ole Miss. I'm guessing that has something to do with the opening line, which was just a shade over a touchdown. So it went up.
Right.
Louisville brings back Malik Cunningham.
Sure.
Made a lot of mistakes last year, but still a playmaker. Do we agree on that?
Yeah, but here's a big picture issue. If we're saying, well, if we can get the X player of old, then we really have something. When does that actually come true? like if we get the Adrian Martinez of 3 years ago, we might have something. Like, there is just that part of the conversation where it's like, does that live in reality?
I don't know. Malik Cunningham made a lot of mistakes last year, threw 12 picks.
Did.
Louisville, I stand by this. Louisville was not a horrible team. They just made so many dumb mistakes.
Yep.
It was like a super Nebraska in that sense. Like, they have talent. They could put it together in a more meaningful way that actually gets better results, but they shot themselves in the foot so many times last year. I can only imagine how frustrating it must have been to be a Louisville Cardinals fan. -126.
Yeah, it's the same page. Turnover margin.
-12 in turnover margin. This game strikes me as a shootout, Dan. It strikes me as a shootout. We can talk about Malik Cunningham until we're blue in the face. I don't know if either team plays defense this year. You know my old adage, if you're getting more than a touchdown in a shootout, you take those points. Don't know who wins. I think this one is probably inside that number.
Right.
A lot of points. I think a fun game in Atlanta on Monday night. I will go Louisville plus the 9.5.
Louisville. I think I agree with you. I think we agree. So it's okay. The explosive play rate last year of Louisville's defense was 104th nationally. 12% of the time they allowed an explosive play. 117th Ole Miss. So I expect points. And it's, to me, I'm going to go Louisville as well, because that, what is it, 9.5 you said?
9.5.
That's pretty emphatic, and I don't think Ole Miss is in that place yet. I think they're too all over the place, and I still am a believer in, as you mentioned, the ceiling of Louisville, but I expect turnovers. I expect sloppy play from this offense once again, and maybe it'll regress to some sort of mean. I expect that as well, because turnovers, there is a randomness to them, but there was a carelessness to the way Louisville's offense rolled last year. So
yeah.
I'm going to go with Louisville to cover, but I think Ole Miss wins this game.
I think Ole Miss wins this game as well. I think they're the better team. And I am very excited, by the way, to see Lane Kiffin in year two, especially with another year now of Matt Corral. It should be a dynamic offense, should be a ton of fun to watch. And this is a great opening game for them, honestly.
Yeah,
it's a great opening game for both teams.
There was obviously a part of Ole Miss's success was tied to having one of the best three or four receivers in the country, Elijah Moore, who's no longer there. Just incredibly dependable. So there is that wrinkle to Ole Miss, is finding those new guys that they can depend on. And I know I like them at running back a good deal, but it should be fun. It should be back and forth.
Let's do some quick hitters, shall we? Those are the headliners.
Please, please, please.
There's a ton of other college football going on this weekend in week one. Let's go back all the way in time, Dan, if we could.
Boo-doo-doo, boo-doo-doo, boo-doo-doo.
Thursday, 7 p.m. ESPN, Boise State on the road at UCF. UCF is a 5.5-point favorite, Dan. Which direction are you going?
UCF. I'm going with the quarterback that I trust. I'm going with the mystery. I mean, we have two mysteries here. We have two new head coaches in Andy Avalos at Boise and Gus Malzahn, but I am going with the dependability of a top 10 national quarterback probably in Dylan Gabriel, whereas I'm not so sure about Boise's offense at this point, and just I trust the Knights a little bit more right here at home.
More of the money, 89% of the money is on UCF at the moment. I probably go in that direction as well, because I'm more leery of the new coach, new system combination at Boise than I am at UCF on the road against a good team in week one. I actually think the move is to go over 68.5 here, because both teams, I believe, will play with tempo. We know that Boise wants to. Tim Plow,
the guy they brought over to coordinate the offense from UC Davis, ran a play on average every 23 seconds last year. So this is a guy who wants to play fast and, you know, put its offense in position to score as many points as possible. Go over,
By the way, this feels like one of the five best and most interesting games of the week, just because of where Boise's defense was last year and going against Dylan Gabriel in this new offense under Gus. I'm fascinated to watch this game.
Also on Thursday, 8 p.m. on Fox, we've got Ohio State minus 14 on the road at Minnesota. Dan, Minnesota crushed my soul last year. First couple weeks of the year.
Yeah.
Absolutely crushed my soul. Again, this season, we've got a veteran team. They bring back 20 starters. The last time Ohio State was here, they did not cover the point spread. They were favored by about the same amount in 2014, only won by 7. Maybe a bit of foreshadowing. Who knows? Looks like we got some rain, got some wind in the forecast for Thursday night. Dan, new quarterback for Ohio State. Is this the recipe for an upset?
Well, look ahead spot as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because the Ohio State is hosting Oregon, Oregon the following week. So, yeah.
So you're going Minnesota outright.
I've been on the Minnesota. No, yeah. I'm going Ohio State to cover and hit the over. I think they're going to be outstanding in this game. And I know Minnesota had issues in terms of missing players on both sides of the line of scrimmage last year, or especially early on in that Michigan game. I can't find that reason to say Minnesota's defense is going to improve to such a point where they're going to be able to be competitive against the modern iteration of Ohio State's offense and that type of speed and that type of talent. You mentioned, was it Travion Henderson, the big new name at running back who's going to spell Master Teague. I just, with those receivers, with that offensive line, which I know is a little bit beat up. I think it was Thayer Munford was beat up. There's just something that I can trust about Ohio State at this point, and I don't necessarily see the playmakers collectively for Minnesota to find those points to score. Like, how many points do you need to score to cover a 14-point spread if Ohio State is in the realm of what we expect?
30?
28? Yeah. I don't see it. I have Ohio State here 42-22.
I have Ohio State 38-17, much like your Alabama-Miami score. If Minnesota had shown any teeth on defense whatsoever last year, I would feel so much better about their returning talent.
Mm-hmm.
We throw the returning starters, returning production number out there all the time. But what was the quality of that?
Right.
Defense was bad a year ago. Now, maybe you take that with a grain of salt because of the weird COVID year. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a fraction is what we can take, but we got to take something.
Got to take something. And if they just had a little bit more bite on defense, I'd be inclined to maybe do that. But just too much offensive talent for Ohio State. I think they win. I think they cover. I'll go 38-17 in favor of the Buckeyes.
The thing that gives me cause for pause, our favorite pet charity.
Right.
We are talking about a road spot on a Thursday night. I think the atmosphere is going to be relatively electric with a new starting quarterback. And I mean, the look ahead spot doesn't really sway me as much as that road week one new quarterback.
Yeah.
That to me is, I expect CJ Stroud to be the next great Ohio State quarterback. But I am a little bit worried situationally that, like, all right, he got through it 28-20 and on to Oregon, and he took a couple lumps but really showed the promise we expected. That to me is the reality that I also exist in with this matchup. But I think that happens 3 out of 10 times, and I'm going 42-22. I don't know how I arrived at that number. 7 out of 10 times.
The counterpoint is that Ohio State could quite literally line up and run the ball 60 times and still cover the spread.
I think that's a good call.
They could run the ball until they're blue in the face and still cover the spread with the depth that they have at running back and with the talent that they have. You know, just the threat of Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson gives them a lot, even if they don't throw to them. So,
right.
I don't know. I'm with you. I think Ohio State wins and covers. I don't necessarily feel great about this pick, but I think it's the only one we can make at this point, so we agree.
Yeah. I mean, if Tanner Morgan had those two NFL receivers,
yeah,
it's a different conversation to me.
It is.
But I don't see that high end energy from the Minnesota offense.
Let's move to Friday evening, Dan.
I would love to.
6 p.m. ESPN. North Carolina -5.5 on the road at Virginia Tech. Now, 92% of the money is coming in on North Carolina. I am on Virginia Tech here.
Because the spread confuses you?
Not because of Braxton Burmeister being the starting quarterback. I just want to be clear.
Okay. Okay.
Situationally, I think this is just a goofy spot for North Carolina. In Blacksburg, a Friday night, lost pretty much all of their offensive weapons from a year ago outside of Sam Howell.
Yeah.
It takes sometimes a while to get that move, and I'm not super high on Virginia Tech this year, but this is just a bad spot for North Carolina.
North Carolina's not replacing those guys with like your buddies, buddies.
But they got a lot of production at running back, at wideout. It's tough to have that walk out the door and then go on the road to a hostile environment on a Friday night like Virginia Tech. I think Carolina wins, but I think this is one of those nail biters.
I just don't think Virginia Tech's that good. And so I'm going to go with North Carolina to win here. I think there's just more to like. I understand the situational call, but you also have to have the ability to take advantage.
Yeah.
And I don't just necessarily see it with Virginia Tech. I think it's maybe a good game for a half. And ultimately, North Carolina, who still has its own issues. Like, even forget what they had last year in terms of those receivers and those running backs. Like, this was a team with those guys that had issues.
Yeah.
I just don't know if Virginia, I do know, I don't think Virginia Tech is the team to take advantage. So I think it's interesting and emotional that first half, but ultimately North Carolina makes plays and wins this game by, I don't know, 10 or 13.
You know what just occurred to me? It occurred to me that I have been confusing Braxton Burmeister with Max Bortenschlager, the aforementioned Bortenschlager.
So hold on. Have you all offseason long said to yourself, in your brain, you saw Max Bortenschlager under center for Virginia Tech?
I think I did, yeah.
Not the Oregon transfer, Braxton Burmeister.
No, no.
Okay.
Hmm.
Good to know.
Didn't I make a banana bet on this too?
You did make a banana bet. The Andy Staples, Ari Wasserman, Will Levis banana bet. If Braxton Burmeister shines, we should define shine. So we'll say no interceptions, at least 8 yards per attempt in a winning effort.
Okay.
And a touchdown pass.
And at least two touchdown passes to shine.
Two touchdowns. Okay. Two touchdowns, zero picks.
Yeah.
8 yards per attempt in a winning effort. And you eat a banana peel and all.
Yeah. Okay.
On camera.
I'll hold true to that.
Yeah.
But I feel a lot worse about that bet now that I got these two guys mixed up. Okay.
That's okay.
Also, on Friday night, 9 p.m. ESPN, the Dan Rubenstein special. Michigan State at Northwestern. The Cats are a 3-point home favorite. This line opened as Michigan State +6.5. It's obviously come down a lot since then. Folks are crushing on the Spartans pretty good. 97% of the money is currently on the Spartans, 66% of the bets. I will go the other way because I want to go and be a contrarian like that. I will say the Cats -3. I don't have a great lean in this game one way or the other. I would not touch this with a 10-foot pole if you made me put actual money on it. I don't want to go anywhere near this game. I don't have much confidence in Hunter Johnson at quarterback for Northwestern. I guess the counterpoint would be that Michigan State still doesn't know who they're playing at quarterback this year.
Right.
Whether it's Anthony Russo or Peyton Thorne, but we have this horrible tendency to always undervalue Northwestern every year. They continually find ways to get it done, even if they're a half team. So I'll just go Cats. Why not?
School's not in session, so the student section won't be as raucous as it will be later on if it doesn't start for another couple of weeks. Last year, Northwestern started out pretty well. They've had those seasons where they look a little crummy early and then you look up and they have 9 wins. But they demolished Maryland by 35, 40 points last year to open up the season at home. So, yeah, I understand the trepidation with Hunter Johnson. Michigan State's in a place where they're like, I don't know who our quarterback is. Or maybe they do. They just haven't said anything publicly. But I'm still not there with the Spartans. I will get there eventually. I'm not there yet. I think Northwestern wins this game ugly, 17-13.
Let's move to more games on Saturday.
go to High Noon on FS1. This is the body clock game. We've been talking about it all year.
Mm-hmm.
Stanford traveling east into the central time zone, squaring off against Kansas State. So for them, it will feel like a 10 a.m. kickoff, the body clock game. I am all in on K-State in this game. I am all in. I am not in on Stanford at all. First off, we don't know who their quarterback is, which sounds like a problem.
Was it Jack West or Tanner McKee? Yeah.
It sounds like they're switching back to the Stanford of old football where they ground and pound.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know if that's going to work. We did the preview on Kansas State. There are certainly reasons to not be gung-ho on what Chris Klieman has in store for 2021. But under his leadership, this is a program that has continually found ways to, I think, overperform. They've got Skylar Thompson back. They've got Deuce Vaughn, who we both love. Mm-hmm. We will be listening for the Deuce's short references from the announcer. No doubt about
that. Always. No doubt about it.
K-State is only favored by 2.5 points. I think this is a great spot for them, if only because of the weird body clock situation. Second lock of the week, give me the Cats.
Lock of the week.
I'm all in, baby.
Who is your first, Florida State?
No, my first lock was Georgia. My second is K-State.
Georgia. Oh, that's right. You went big with Georgia. Well, the good news is Kansas State isn't playing a team that fully has their name encapsulated in Arkansas State like they did last year when they lost that game. That was what I assume a bit of a look ahead spot with Oklahoma, who they beat. I'm going Kansas State as well. Stanford scares me. Stanford, I think if everything clicks, they could be somewhat interesting. And I know people seem to like Elijah Higgins as a new go-to receiver, but the lack of confident experience, the lack of proven experience, whatever, at quarterback. I don't think they have a dude at running back. The defensive front, which for so many years was in a really good place. Like, it just, there's not a ton of NFL type dudes on this Stanford roster like there used to be 3, 4, 5 years ago. I'm going Kansas State situationally, and it's weird the starting time, whatever, but yeah, I'm gonna go KSU here to I'm actually curious to see what happens with the hateful eight. I don't know what we're calling the Big 12 teams that were left behind by Texas and Oklahoma. I'm curious to see them specifically. If there's like a clear fire lit underneath them.
Yeah.
If they're treating 2021 as an audition. Yeah. Like, look, people are talking about us. We're popping. Little Apple. So yeah, I'm gonna go Kansas State here. I struggle to find things that get me excited about the Cardinal right now.
Couple other games here. Saturday, 2 p.m. Pac-12 Network, your Oregon Ducks, about a 3-touchdown favorite at home against Fresno. Most of the money coming in on Oregon. I will go points. I will take the points because Fresno can air it out. They can score. They've got a game under their belt. Oregon's going to win this game going away, but 21 points feels like a lot to me.
I'm going Fresno here to cover this spread. Yeah. It feels like a lot of points. The Mario Cristobal era has seen a lot of wins. I think they've only lost once at home in that weird Stanford fumble, touching the pylon game from a couple years ago. But Oregon doesn't cover under the Mario Cristobal regime. They're just a home favorite. Oregon has not really covered. And the reason why is there's that ground and pound element to things with the Oregon offense. I'm not a huge Anthony Brown guy. I'm a huge, huge Joe Moorhead guy. I think Oregon's ceiling is really interesting on offense. But right now, with Fresno already having played a game, Oregon down 2 starting defensive backs to suspension and Jamal Hill and DJ James, I think Fresno's in a good enough place with old man Rivers behind there in his 5th year
Your
playing.
Your boy, Ronnie Rivers.
Ronnie Rivers, record setter in his 5th season playing football. I'm going to go with Fresno to cover this and lose by a couple touchdowns.
Saturday, 3:30, Big Ten Network. This is an interesting game. Indiana at Iowa. Iowa is favored by 3.5. It opened as Iowa favored by 6. It's come down a bit since the open. I'm going to take Iowa here. I did the preview on Indiana, and I think that the Hawkeyes can exploit a couple of the things that I saw in Indiana that give me cause for pause, our favorite pet charity.
Okay, obviously.
I think chief among those is the fact that Iowa should be better at running the football this season, right? Something that Iowa has typically done fairly well. I think they'll be better at it this year than last. And Indiana was just not great against the run last year. I think they're going to be improved as well, but that particular matchup to me is a bit bothersome in this game. I'm looking forward to seeing Michael Penix back out there. That will be great. I think this is an incredibly interesting early season conference matchup between Indiana and Iowa. But I'll go Iowa, I think relatively low scoring, like 22-17. I don't know how they get to 22, 17. But 22-17 is my final.
Yeah, I'm hitting that under hard in this one.
Yeah,
which I think it's what about 40? I'm looking right now, 45 points.
It's like an NFL game. Yeah,
yeah. So, Indiana was the number 2 team nationally in terms of cover percentage. They were underrated and underthought of by the bookmakers. I'm gonna go IU here. Going to go Indiana. Iowa has, for long stretches of the Kirk Ferentz era, underperformed early on. Weird games against Iowa State. Obviously, they've lost to an FCS team. Last year, they had a bad loss or two early on to start the year. Like, there's just something that they need to be jump-started after a week or two. I'm going to go with Indiana here to come out head on fire, hair on fire. I think they win this game 20-17. I'm right there with you in terms of where the score looks. But yeah, I have the Hoo Hoo Hoosiers. Yep, next.
3:30 ESPN on Saturday. West Virginia, 3.5-point road favorite against the Maryland Terrapins. I have no idea who to pick here. I want both teams to win. I think I will go with Maryland plus the points at home.
You're both my favorites.
I want them both to win. I like them both. I think both are a cool story. We were a little harsher on West Virginia in our preview show, and we said we just don't know which direction the program is headed. Yeah. I want it to be headed in a good direction because we both like Neil Brown a great deal.
Sure.
We also made some hay on the Mike Locksley knowing the DMV when we did our fantasy thing show a couple of years ago. So I like both these guys. I don't really want either to lose. I hope it's close. I will take Maryland getting points at home, but I don't have a strong lean one way or the other.
I think I'm with you. I think I'm going to go with the home dog. I just, you want to see more explosion from the West Virginia offense, and they're replacing some key guys on all three levels of that defense, which I still expect to be the strength of this team. But yeah, I'll just go with the home dog here.
4:30 on Fox, Louisiana. My Raging Cajuns, Dan, on the road at Texas. Texas favored by 8.5. For as much as I have been in on Texas all year, and I'm now contractually bound almost to be in on Texas for the remainder of the season.
Yeah.
I would be a total hypocrite if I didn't take Louisiana plus the points here because I've been talking them up all preseason long. I'm going to go Louisiana plus the points. I do have concerns about their ability to hang with a team like Texas, but especially since there is some production that they lose as well. But most of the team is back. Give me Raging Cajuns plus the 8.5 now. It was higher before, but I'm sticking to my guns here. I think this game could potentially be very close, especially with Texas now starting a freshman quarterback. So first game of the Sark era, I think more of a nail biter than Texas faithful would want it to be. Give me Louisiana plus the points.
Yeah, I'm going to go Texas to cover this game. You don't get Texas hype unless there's a reason for Texas hype. And so this is going to be the reason for Texas hype that they'll ultimately let down. But I think Texas comes out and really looks impressive in a new look system that Louisiana, even though they've been led by their defense, especially their pass defense these past couple of years, they don't know exactly what to expect from Hudson Card in this offense. I think Texas comes out and makes a statement. They have the best player in this game in Bijan Robinson. They have an unknown quantity in Hudson Card. They've got a couple interesting receivers. I'm not crazy about the line. They've got dudes up front on defense. I think Louisiana has their full attention after beating an actual Big 12 power last year.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with the Horns here by a couple touchdowns.
Saturday, 5 p.m., Pac-12 Network, San Jose State on the road at USC. USC favored by 2 touchdowns. This line's down from 16.5. I think I go San Jose State here. I like USC. I think USC is due for a really good season. But it's another one of those deals where San Jose State's got a game under its belt. Aired it out last week. Looked really good, I thought, in what we saw of them. So for as much as I like USC, I think that San Jose State's probably got that tune-up game in and ready to score more points against this defense. So 14 feels like a lot to me, even though I really like USC to win.
Yeah, I'm seeing 14.5, 58, 59 points is the over-under. I think, who's the money in on?
83% of the money is in on San Jose State.
That makes me want to take USC. I'm going to fade the public here, and I'm going to take USC. I think all of your points are salient. I think they're all correct. But there is something, there's continuity with USC. There are playmakers on offense. I don't know to what extent I trust the Todd Orlando defense, but I still, you know, Drake Jackson is on this defense.
Very
I think
good.
He's going to wreak havoc. So I'm going to go with SC here to actually to come out of the gates really, really strong. I think San Jose has their attention. They won the Mountain West last year, so they're not going to be looked at as a walkover. Yeah, I'm going to take the Trojans by 3 touchdowns here.
I want to see how good the rest of the defense is beyond Drake Jackson, because one of the blind items, I remember this distinctly, in the preview piece that The Athletic put together, when I think it was The Athletic, somebody put together, when they have blind items talking to other coaches about the team that they're previewing, one of the comments from an opposing coach was that Drake Jackson's really good. The rest of the defense is just like, they're good players, but they're not superstars.
Right.
And that stuck out to me. I want to see what they can do in this opening matchup here. That will, I think, set the tune for...
Hey, man, your guy Corey Foreman maybe getting on some third downs, some pass rushing situations.
Yeah. Yep. We'll see.
What, San Jose State ran the table until the bowl game, right? Yeah. They won all their games. Yeah.
And finally, Saturday, 7 p.m. ESPN. They play this one in the NERG. Texas Tech minus 1.5. The Fighting Shucksters, Dan.
Man.
Squaring off against Clayton Tune and Houston. 1.5 is the line.
So if they're the Fighting Shucksters, does that mean Houston is the Tune squad?
Whatever you want to go
with.
What
was the name of the from Space Jam, right? What, weren't they called the Toons? What was the name?
I think the Tune squad?
I think so. Oh, man. I got to verify this. Yeah, it's Tune squad. Okay.
Tune squad, sure.
Yeah.
Shucksters against Tune squad, Dan. Shucksters favored by 1.5. Who you got?
I think I'm going to go Texas Tech here.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. I don't have a good reason why. I think the best of Tyler Shuck is interesting.
Listen,
he made plays
listen,
last year.
Listen. Live on the wild side with me. Throw your money behind Houston outright and Dana Holgorsen. The first 2 years have been weird at Houston. This is
bad.
The game. This is the game. This is the game where they start to make their mark. This is the game where Holgorsen starts to put it together. Fly with me. Go Houston outright. At home in the NERG. Come on, what else do you need?
I mean, it's not home, but yes, it's home. It's not that far for Texas Tech. It's far enough across the state, but I'm gonna go Tech here.
Okay. What's your lock, by the way? Are you locking anybody up?
Yeah, I'm gonna lock up Kansas State. News spot is short against Stanford. Yeah, I'm gonna go Kansas State there. Lock of the week.
Lock of the week.
Wise selection, my friend. Any other games on your radar that you want to call out very quickly?
Yeah, Nevada Cal should be interesting. Carson Strong with a couple really strong receivers traveling to Cal and what we expect to be another at least pretty good Cal defense. BYU Arizona, just to get a new look at what Arizona looks like under Jed Fish, and BYU with a new starting quarterback and new offensive coordinator. Ricky Ronnie finally gets to coach a game for the Monarchs of ODU. So there's that. He's been there for over a year. South Dakota State, who was the FCS runners-up like 4 weeks ago, they didn't play a 2021 season. They get Colorado State. So just if you have your eyes open for an FCS upset, you know, that's not the worst place to start. Michigan gets Western Michigan, and that's Caleb Ellaby, who is quietly one of the better quarterbacks in the country, but certainly one of the more talented players in the MAC. So I don't know. He kind of rules. So that could be interesting. Army-Georgia State tie. The game is in Atlanta. The Panthers had I have it down here. One non-competitive game in a blowout loss to Coastal Carolina. They have a double Cornelius situation,
double
quarterback
Cornelius,
and receiver. Yeah. And that's fascinating to me. Northern Iowa almost beat North Dakota State in the spring. That was a 23-20 loss, and they are Iowa State's first opponent with a possible look ahead spot to the Cy-Hawk game.
Yeah.
That's interesting to me. So, I mean, even I think this it's a pretty deep weekend of interest, but speaking of deep, Ty, I have a favor.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Will you drop that big, stanky, engulfing, enticing, enveloping Drummond Fife?
The Patriot League is back, Dan. It is back. Woo-hoo-hoo. They tried to do it in the spring. That didn't work. Let's talk about it in 2021, shall we? Saturday on the ACC Network, no less. High noon. Colgate on the road at Boston College, Dan. Who you got?
Gators, baby. Gators, 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 Gators are going to lose by a tremendous amount of points. I like saying Gators a lot. BC is going to win that game comfortably.
I am on BC as well. Also, high noon on CBS Sports Network. Pat Lee getting some love here. Holy Cross on the road at UConn. UConn got destroyed a week ago against Fresno, 45-0. They're coming back home now. Don't sleep on the Crusaders, Dan. Who you got?
I'm not sleeping on the Crusaders. UConn? No, you can't, because it is Holy Cross's time on the road on national TV. Give me Holy Cross there.
We agree. Also on national television, big year for the Pat League incoming. Don't forget it. High noon, Big Ten Network. Fordham on the road in Lincoln against Nebraska. Scott Frost licking his wounds after that opening week loss in week zero, 30-22 to Illinois. Can Fordham, can the Rams, can New York's one true team pull the upset?
Sure. Yeah. They won't. But no, I think Nebraska wins that game. But I did want to compare and find a reason to take Fordham. And I looked up the best pizza available in Lincoln, Nebraska. And if we were only going pizza, it's Fordham by quite some distance. So yeah. No, I'm going Nebraska here to bounce back.
Also, Saturday, high noon, not on national television. It's just a stone's throw away from me. Villanova on the road at Lehigh. Dan, the Mountain Hawks playing host to the Wildcats. I gotta go Mountain Hawks here. You know I'm contractually obligated to do that now that I am married to a Lehigh grad.
Well, you're married to an engineer, nonetheless. Yeah. A literal engineer. What, do you have any Villanova connections in your life?
I know plenty of people who have gone to Nova.
Right.
But no, definitely.
But that didn't sway you.
No, the waters run much deeper with my Lehigh affiliation.
So you wouldn't be telling your wife, my friend's over you, is what
no,
you're saying.
No, I would never. Okay. I would never be doing
just making
that.
Sure, just making sure, newfound glory. Yeah, I'm gonna go Villanova here, big.
12:30, Marist on the road at Georgetown Multisport Field hosting a week one opener.
Why did Marist not cancel this game?
I don't know.
On account of Hornets nesting.
Hornets nesting? I mean, use COVID as an excuse if you have to. You don't want to play at Multisport Field.
I just don't understand why people are not ducking Georgetown at this point if they have to go to MSF. So I'm going to Georgetown.
Got to go Hoyas.
Huge,
right?
Huge.
Saturday, 2 p.m. Lafayette on the road at Air Force.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Whoa.
This is a big matchup here, Dan.
Altitude.
Yeah.
Yeah, if this were at sea level, I'd take Lafayette big, but I'm going Air Force here.
Yeah, I think you got to go Air Force. They have a distinct advantage, if only because of the altitude.
And the United States Air Force. Yeah.
And finally, to close it out, we've got Bucknell on the road at Sacred Heart. This is the Saturday primetime Patriot League game.
Right.
6 p.m. Eastern. Going Bison, you go in Sacred Heart.
So this is Big Six Saturday?
Big Six Saturday.
Yeah. I'm going Bucknell here. Sacred Heart just reminds me of the hospital from Scrubs, and I do not think they could field a pretty good college football team. So I'm going to go Bucknell here by, I don't know, 16, 17 points. You can quote me on that.
Are you pulling the Bishop Sycamore card on Sacred Heart?
Oh, man. That story just bums me out. That story just like, and I understand why on a certain level it's just like gallows. Like it's just, it's so gross that you kind of have to laugh. But man, is it a bummer of a story.
That does it. Week one coming at you. It starts on Thursday. Don't forget to follow along on all of our social media channels. We are the Solid Verbal.
You can also go on out and subscribe and like and click the little bell. Smash the like button, as they say on the YouTube channel, where we post some of the highlights of our show as well. Don't forget to go on out to our Patreon. So here's the deal. Verballers.com is where you can sign up for the Patreon. We are going to be doing our reaction show live for our premium Verballers. Live streaming that Sunday morning, 10 a.m. As is always the case, we've got a really just awesome group of college football fans who follow along all the action in our Discord channel as well. We're going to be talking about those games the whole weekend through. So verballers.com is where you can go sign up for our special Patreon community. You also can go to playruntheboard.com. You need to be a Patreon subscriber to play this game. But if you finish again in the top five, you can be part of our newly created board of trustees. Caveat is you got to be in Patreon. You also got to sign up for that game before kickoff on Saturday. So that's 11:59 a.m. on Saturday, September the 4th.
Eastern
time. That's how you get in on that action. Playruntheboard.com again is that URL. And finally, because I know I didn't bring it up, and if I don't bring it up, people are going to lose their minds. Yes, the Reverb line is open.
Boom!
The Reverb line is open. Call in 408-VERBAL-1. That is 408-837-2251. Call in, stream of consciousness, as you're watching all of the action throughout the course of the first really big college football weekend. We will mix those together into our favorite, your favorite segment, which we call the Reverbs, and we'll play that on the aforementioned, potentially live-streamed reaction show on Sunday morning.
Lay your emotions bare on the Reverb line. I expect you to call in if you are happy and you want to talk some nonsense. That's wonderful. If you want to call in and say, I don't even know why I do this anymore. Why am I still a Stanford fan? Why am I still a Virginia Tech fan? Why am I still a Minnesota fan? That's what we like too.
Week one, Dan, is coming at us. I am very excited. I am thrilled that we are finally able to do this show.
Yeah. What are you eating?
I haven't decided yet.
Oh, man. That's a huge decision. I think we're building among, there's so many different conversational topics and rooms in the Discord channel, but I think we're going to build a Google document of recipes.
Oh, yeah.
Ridiculous college football recipes and otherwise. I saw people talking about generators and sound bars. It's just great. It's all over the place. The pros and cons of Catholicism, you jumped in on for a long time. No, I just made that up. That's not true at all. I have so much fun inside the Discord channel. And you know what I have to do right now, Ty? As we're talking about new beginnings, the beginning of the season, the beginning of you not having a day job for a college football season, I have to go pick up the solid toddler from his first day of preschool.
Look at you.
Ups and downs of emotion all over the place. He did pretty good. Drop off, he did well.
Week one, not just in college football. For that guy over there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildenbrandt, thank you so much for downloading, for listening, for supporting, and for hanging with us here as we dive headfirst into a brand new season. Enjoy the weekend of college football. We'll catch you all this weekend. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.
We're going the distance. We're going for speed. We're all alone in a top car.
That's all.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15, discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.